Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 242 of the Classic Leap Podcast. My name is Scott. I've got Dustin with me. What is going on, man?
It's been three whole days.
3 days since we last released an episode. So the numbers on this one will be shitty. It's just how it works out. Whenever we get really irregular, the subsequent one usually suffers. So if you're listening to this, just know that you are in a very small crowd of people.
That's right.
Enjoying the podcast. But yeah, we had to record late last week, and now we have to record early this week. So welcome, everybody. Dustin, how has the weekend been?
The weekend was good. I played some Cyberpunk Saturdays.
I saw. I did not do anything. I meant to do something on the channel on either Sunday or yesterday, and I didn't. I got out. I cleaned like it was May. I got it. My house looks amazing right now.
The late summer cleaning.
Yeah. You were up late, though. You must have streamed when you got home from the big fundraiser thing.
Yes, I did, yeah. I was up till like 1 o'clock.
Saturday Night Fever. That's like me staying up till 4. It's
like adjusted. I felt like I was about to see daylight.
Right. Oh, it's like kid versus not kid. There's like a significant adjustment around bedtime.
Yeah.
So, well, good deal. As far as what I've been up to, I had a good, relaxing weekend, nothing real exciting. But I gotta say, I am very looking forward to recording tonight. Monday and Tuesday at work weren't the best, so this is nice. However, we do have some cool stuff to talk about this week. Surprisingly, for an early August short window between recordings time, there was a decent bit of fun news to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, man, Dustin, the is this still playing because I have something reset? No. We were so short at our intro, the theme song's still playing. So you can tell we just recorded a few days ago. Nothing all that exciting. But I guess, yeah, let's get into news. So the first thing is maybe a little bit of a surprise to people in one regard, but not a surprise at all in another. And the person that made another Metroid 2 remake or another, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
AM2R, and I just have this wrong in the notes, I think. Well, anyways, we all speculated that maybe Nintendo might hire them or something along those lines to work on the Metroid game that's coming out in a couple of weeks, that 3DS one.
Mm-hmm.
This person was not hired by Nintendo, but they were hired by Moon Studios to, he's working on level design for the upcoming Ori game.
That's awesome.
So I'm very excited. I have not fired up another Metroid 2 remake, but I feel like I need to now. That's what I'm going to play leading up to Ori 2 coming out. Something of the Wisps, the Wind of the Wisps or something like that. There's a W word.
Breath of the Wisps.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wind.
Part of me wanted to say, is it Wind of the Wisps? Like, I went right to Zelda too. But I think that's amazing. What a good job on Moon to, reach out to that guy and say, hey.
Yeah.
Like what you did.
I bet you'll play that, Metroid 2 remake and then go to Ori and you'll be like, oh, I see. This is his influence right here.
That's the idea. Yes, absolutely.
That'd be sweet.
So instead of replaying through Ori, when that game's about to come out, I'm playing another Metroid 2 remake.
Yeah.
Just to see some of those little touches. And, I think it might be, if I really want to go down the rabbit hole to obsessively follow this one guy, I should play the Game Boy version to then see what changes he made to the original to kind of polish it a little bit more. And then, yeah, then lead up into the new Ori. You hear of things like that, and it sounds like a good talking point on a podcast. But to have a tangible example of this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
You hear about, like, Google hiring hackers or whatnot, or people that developed malware or something. They're like, hey, why don't you work for us instead of against us? Just cool. Hey, as much as I've gushed about Ori, have you ever given it a try?
Not yet. I was going to play it on Xbox One, but I never
bought it. Got the Xbox One? I'm going to guess that, although Ori in the Blind Forest is one of the best games I've ever played, something tells me that you'll be okay if you just jump into the first one or the second one.
Yeah.
Then maybe go back if you love it. It's cool. Like, what a perfect fit. They're making a Metroidvania game.
Yeah.
So they hire somebody that was a developer for a Metroidvania game. I think it's really cool. So, next, did you happen to see this on, this next item that we have on here?
So I heard about it. They're making a sequel series on YouTube of The Karate Kid, and it's going to actually have Ralph Macchio and William Zabka.
Yeah.
And William Zabka was the blonde villain.
Yeah, he was the bully.
Johnny? Sweet Legs?
Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yes, and it's YouTube Red, so you have to have
okay.
That. I do have YouTube Red, so my buddy's like, you got to let me know how it is. I'm like, well, I can only tell you how it is. It's terrible. But I'm so excited.
I hope it's like they're vigilante crime fighters, and it's basically like Double Dragon.
Yeah, yes. I want them to go absurd with Double Dragon. They team up. I think the show might even be called Cobra Kai. So you may be onto something.
Oh, man.
Or
Elizabeth Shue's been kidnapped, and they have to go save her.
That sounds better than my, like, Chris Nolan version, like, super dark and... what if Ralph, or let's say Daniel gets, like, down on his luck, and he's, like, all pissed off and grumpy, and he's sad because Mr. Miyagi passed away, and Johnny, he ends up growing up to have a different kind of 180, and then Daniel is the jerk Cobra Kai teacher.
Oh.
To Johnny's son or daughter, whoever. So now Johnny's the sympathetic good guy, and Daniel's the asshole. So and maybe by the end of the series, then Daniel would come around and soften up a little bit, and remember what, like, he could turn into Miyagi. I think we probably just spoiled it. I mean, what else could you do?
It could be. It could be like what they did with Sonic Boom, and it's basically just a situation comedy.
That's fine. If it's going to bring Ralph Macchio and, what was Zabka, Billy Zabka, William Zabka?
Yeah.
Bring them back and, let them goof around and have it not be related at all. Maybe they'll throw in a bonsai tree joke every now and then. Oh, I want Johnny to ask Daniel at one point, like, hey, how was that trip to Japan? How'd that go?
Hilary Swank is in the background for some reason.
Yeah, just there. As like a little Easter egg. She'll be the ref of the fight.
Yes.
So yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be good, but I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear about it on the podcast.
I got that beta for Google Play Music years ago, and they had a thing that was like, hey, if you don't cancel, we'll keep you at $8 a month. And instead of like the $10 or whatever for Google and the way it is now and Spotify and Pandora and all that. But then when they tacked on YouTube Red, man, ad-free YouTube and ad-free streaming, and it's $8 a month, I can't turn it off.
Yeah.
I would love to not have it, but I feel like, God, I can't go back.
Yeah.
They've got me.
It's like you want to upgrade to PS Pro, but your current one has PT on it.
you're done. You need to own them both. You can't let one go.
Yeah.
I would love to sell my PS4 at this point. I rarely play it. But I have the Destiny one. I don't even like Destiny. But if I'm going to sell it, it's going to be in 10 years when Destiny 3 is about to be released and people get all nostalgic for that first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it is pretty awesome looking. It's white. Looks great. I started bundling up my PS4 or PSVR. Starting to get a little cold feet, but I think I'm going to throw it on there. We'll see.
Yeah.
Is there a, this is so out of left field. I don't even know if I can think of another series that I would like to see this done with. Like, could we get an Airborne?
Yes. That's it. Just stop right there.
Okay.
You nailed it. Yeah.
Jack Black comes back as a hockey coach.
Yeah.
There for a scene. Yeah, I think it's cool. What a weird idea. I would love to know the paper trail of conception to like getting this through.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear the pitch on, let's put millions of dollars behind this.
Ooh, I've got one. Monster Squad.
Oh, that's better. Yeah. I think that's better. There's too many good characters you could do with that. And that could be, an anthology where they can have new myths every season.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's a lot better, I think. Oh, yeah. And you could have Nad's jokes once a season. Yeah. It's important.
You have that little girl that was in it. She's all grown up now. She's pretty. So you're like, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, like Jenny Lewis, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, it's if you guys 60 look back at her, it's like, man, you knew what she looked like back in the day. Only us, I was gonna say Xennials can comment on that.
Yeah,
I just heard that term for the first time. The gap between Gen X and Millennials, the age range we fall into.
Mm-hmm.
Xennials. It makes me feel like a celebrity couple. I don't like it.
Makes me want to flip people off.
Yeah, Xennials. So, next, this is pretty cool. Mario Kart Wii, which until Mario Kart 8 came out, maybe my favorite, even though it had the Wii wheel thing. Some hacker streamer guy found a mode that is secret that is kind of like a skill-based challenge that you can see in a DS game.
Mm-hmm.
But they intentionally hit it and turned it off in the Wii release. But he was able to essentially make the console read information that wasn't there that would allow it to access the rest of the stuff. That's kind of a short way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess dialogue was missing, where dialogue boxes and stuff would pop up. But there was totally a mode for like a skill-based challenge in the Mario Kart Wii release that they cut out, and someone found it.
That's awesome.
That's the kind of game-breaking that I think you would go nuts over. I hope someday when you retire, you get bored enough to bust open game code and just start messing with it. Have you ever watched that Peanut Butter Gamer's older videos? Excuse me. You know who that is?
Mm-hmm. I saw one where he would like cartridge tilt, do stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't know if I've even seen that. I assumed he used an emulator to do a lot of the stuff he would.
Yeah.
Cartridge tilting is when you just like wiggle the cart when it's on to get weird stuff to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed he used an emulator to do it, but that's what this seems like to me. Somebody dicking around with an emulator inside a game code, messing with stuff. And I guess this guy may have done it enough that he recognized something that was peculiar. I was like, oh my god, cool. This should be in here. I wonder how many more. We're starting to get to that point where it is. We're going to start hearing a lot more about this stuff. Was it Mortal Kombat 2 that they just found the Christmas Easter egg? It was like 25, 30 years after the game came out.
Huh, I haven't heard about that one.
There was like something on Christmas Day. If you had the internal clocks at the Christmas Day and you did something, there was a message from one of the developers. It was like a like happy birthday to his wife, or I don't know, it was something weird. I don't think it was significant. But I remember hearing about that and thinking like, oh my God, how would a secret of a game that popular last for this long? Like through the hacking community and stuff. Did you find it?
Mm-mm.
I hope I'm not lying about that. I'm pretty sure that that happened. Next up, we have the Dota International starts this week. Dustin, I know you, as the biggest MOBA fan in the world, are very excited. You probably took your week's vacation from work to watch this from beginning to end every day.
Yeah, I don't want to miss a minute of it.
It is pretty remarkable, though. The prize pool's $23 million.
That's a lot of money.
What's crazy is League of Legends doesn't have prize pools this big. Just the way that Valve generates money for this. But, I mean, that's crazy. $23 million. And the reason I bring it up is because neither of us know what's going on with Dota.
Right.
I can understand a little more than you, maybe, but not much. Like, you might think I'm way ahead of you, but I'm not. Kotaku had an article today called A Newcomer's Guide to Watching Dota 2's International. So I'm going to have that in the show notes for everybody. Because if you're interested in checking out the Dota 2 International and you've never played a MOBA and you just want to see what all the hype's about, this is a really good guide for you to go through and get a basic understanding of what's happening. I know with, I hear people involved in video games a lot reference now they understand what sports is like. And I understand it from the other perspective. I've been a sports nut my whole life, but having a cheat sheet to hand somebody that's watching maybe football or baseball with you for the first time would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
And they're a professional writer. I would think that they would lay it out in a more eloquent way than what I would do while I'm trying to pay attention to the game.
Yeah.
Or have you ever heard of a game called Euchre?
Yes.
It's a card game. Mm-hmm. It's like Spades. You ever played Spades?
No. I've played Rook.
I don't know what that is. I know it's a piece in chess.
I've played Go Fish.
I've played that one. but Euchre basically is a very simple game to play. But when you describe it, when you try to teach somebody, it sounds absurd. It's hard to grasp what's going on. And I feel like that's how I am anytime I explain any sport.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a guide is really nice. I'm going to use that. I'm going to check out some stuff this weekend. Why not? I've watched some Heroes of the Storm stuff and enjoyed that. And if this is a good caster, I mean, you can't help but be excited. So, is there any chance you'll check it out?
I don't know, maybe. It's not something I'm like, I'm not like, Dota. I see it and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, maybe. If I have any free time.
I would like, yeah. Like, if I'm browsing through Twitter and someone mentions the championships in an hour, I will be reading this article and going to try to watch that for sure.
Yeah.
Unless it's at night and Game of Thrones is on that Sunday. Then I'll watch the on-demand afterwards. Next up, did you get a chance to check out this article I put about Genesis music?
I did. Yes. It's from Motherboard, which is a portion of Vice.
Yeah.
And this guy threw together this little project board looks awesome.
What do they call those? Like a breadboard?
I think.
Where it's like a hobbyist kind of circuit board that you plug stuff into and use wires instead of traces because it's not production level. I think that's what that's called.
But he basically slapped the sound chips from a Genesis on there and got it to where it will play Genesis music. And even playing through YouTube, it sounds amazing.
It sounds unbelievable.
It sounds so good.
Yeah, so the it's kind of like making your own keyboard, and then the sound processor is the chip out of the Genesis.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'd love to talk more about it. It's just, it's like you got to see it, and you'll love it if you liked the Genesis. I guess is all you can say.
He put up a 9-minute video explaining what he did.
Which is awesome.
So you don't have to listen to my, like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, ramblings.
Yes, we will have the video linked. There's an article that we'll have linked, because I found out about this through Vice, through that motherboard site. So I'll link that article, and then halfway through it, there's that video embedded. So you can go to that. Or if you're just on YouTube right now, if you look for how to make music with original Sega Genesis hardware, I think that'll get you to where you need to be. Also, speaking of other Sega Genesis stuff, us not being Jewish isn't the most exciting thing, but I thought it was very cool. Sonic the Hedgehog now is playable in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And, again, we're not Jewish, so I don't recognize any of the symbols, but it's pretty rad to see Green Hill Zone in Hebrew or the Sega logos in Hebrew.
Yeah, the Sega logo especially.
It's just, what a fun, like, thing to do. Like, if Hugh Johnson was Jewish, he'd probably do something like this.
Yeah. I wonder if they, change the voice sample so it's pronounced in Hebrew. That'd be cool.
I would adore to hear about that, because 20% of the available space on the first cartridge for Sonic was that intro Sega. could you get like the throat sounds in you know what I mean? I would love to try to do my best Yiddish, but I think it would come out offensive, so I'm not going to. Because I genuinely do think it's freaking sweet that somebody changed out all the words to a completely different language that would never get a commercial release.
Yeah.
You know, even in Israel, maybe this would sell over there, but even there, I don't know.
I also like the idea of other languages being in different fonts.
Yes.
Like Hebrew in the Sonic font.
Yeah, Hebrew in that Sega font. I don't know why I thought it was amazing. It makes me want to redo our logo in Hebrew, but
yes.
People just think it was a cool looking symbol.
We got any Israeli listeners?
Let us know.
Yeah.
Help us out. That would be cool. Kenneth in chat says, Sonic, man, I feel old. I have all the Sega Sonic games. Yeah, so do we, and it's because we are old. There you go. I don't talk to my... Is that them?
Yeah.
Okay. Talking to my dad today, I made some comment to him. Where it's like, yeah, it sucks. He said something about, like, getting old, or I realize I'm getting old. And I'm like, Dad, I realize I'm middle-aged. Like, that sucks to think about. I still feel as goofy as I did when I was, you know, getting my license and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm trying to think of another cool... What would be another franchise that would be fun to see in Hebrew? Or another logo that we'd like to see redone. I think, sticking with Sega, I think it would be fun to see them redo some of the Disney stuff, like Quackshot or Castle of Illusion in Hebrew. Something with an already recognizable logo.
Yeah. Streets of Rage.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't help but go with old games, though.
Same.
Because, like, new ones, that feels daunting. Like, if I was trying to play Pyre and it was in Hebrew, it would just look like scrolling text. I might as well be Spanish. Like, I don't know what it is. In Spanish, I could get a little bit of it. But, yeah, the old
L,
games
fit. That means D.
Yeah. I just reminded of shenanigans in old Spanish class. Did you guys ever have a teacher you messed with?
I didn't. Not really.
I didn't personally, but there was one. She was a space cadet. I guess, I don't know if I've ever told the story. I'll be quick with it. We're light on show notes, so we gotta have some filler, right?
Mm.
I wasn't in the class when it happened. I was with the kid that did it in the next year, though, after he failed Spanish. So you remember when the schools would, there'd be a TV on a cart with like all the players in it. Well, whenever the cart would show up for Spanish day, that was awesome, right? Because you were just going to watch something, or actually any day, any class. But particularly Spanish was nice. But this is, she was the dumbest teacher I've ever met. She just didn't understand what was going on ever. And she was a sweet lady, but she also would get really mean at times, like really angry at students. And if she didn't like a student, she really picked on him or her. And this kid was not having it anymore. Like, she was mean to him. He was going to probably fail anyways. Well, he saw that it was TV cart day. So he stole the remote control from the TV. He's sitting in the front row. Well, she's looking all over for the remote, and he explains to her that it's a new voice activated. Now, people, this is in like 1999, 2000. There wasn't voice activated things then. Like, the clapper was as sophisticated as it could get. So he's sitting in the front row, and she spends the whole period, I guess. I wasn't there, so I don't know. The story came to me is she'd spent the whole period wasting time playing with this voice activation. So she would say play, he'd hit play. She'd say change channel, he'd change the channel. Well, he walked out of the class with the remote. She's not a smart teacher. So where the story gets funny is I guess she lost it screaming at the TV after she had spent time explaining how excited she was to show this off. So there's a point where she's like, play, play. Play! It was just working, I swear. Play! But she doesn't realize that the remote's gone and someone was using a remote. Funny to hear about. I don't know how I would have reacted in the class, though. I would have felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
But she was so mean sometimes, I couldn't also blame someone for doing it. But again, he was in my Spanish class the next year. Good old Spanish 3. Part dos. So yeah. Yeah, I guess I would go with old, some Disney games for the, Genesis, what I think would be fun for Hebrew. So yeah, that's going to be it for the news this week. As far as the next segment, Dustin, we've got YouTube channel of the week available or up.
YouTube channel of the week. Week, 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 week.
Who'd you peg this week?
We're going to go. I'm going to try and pronounce this. Rasevic?
That's what I would have guessed.
It's the dude's last name. It's Raycevic. And he does, again, it's kind of like mini documentaries. And he did a video recently on Spec Ops The Line, and it's called Spec Ops The Line 5 years Later.
I meant to watch this.
And it's great.
I would imagine if it's on the notes, it's awesome.
Yeah. It goes over stuff that you've already heard before.
Okay.
And he actually points out stuff I never caught.
Really?
Yeah.
Like foreshadowing stuff or like, hey, this is from this military unit or.
It was mostly foreshadowing stuff.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if it was like the annotated Symphony of the Night where he's like, well, this was inspired by.
Right. Yeah.
Spec Ops, still. I loved that game.
Yeah.
Took you to convince me, but I'm excited to watch this, the 5 years later, because it's been a few years since I've played it.
Same.
So it'd be nice to revisit it, knowing the end.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about spoilers or anything, because that's a game that you really don't want spoiled. You really want to just play that game.
Absolutely.
It's not just one twist. There are several pivots in that game where you're unsure, and it does a very good job of making you feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing Star Wars. Battlefront 2.
Ooh.
Same writer. Fingers crossed. Maybe that'll be pretty good. Or maybe it'll be so far up its own ass that it won't be enjoyable.
It'll be the first Star Wars canon that has white phosphorus involved.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Why, if you would do Spec Ops The Line in the Star Wars universe, it almost might seem kind of like lazy writing, because it's fake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about the twists and the turns in Spec Ops that when it's put in an Earth war setting, that I believe it a little bit more. I don't know. I had an easier time buying in. Would you think the same thing? Or am I off on that?
No, I'm with you. I agree.
So I guess I'm maybe a little nervous. Maybe I should curb my enthusiasm about the Battlefront 2 story. Because that's still primary... Oh, go ahead.
If it involved Ewoks, I probably would have rolled my eyes at Spec Ops.
Yeah. Yeah. Although as a kid, I didn't know any better. I loved those Ewoks movies. Did you ever watch any of those?
Mm-hmm.
Don't now, but at the time it was really cool. I liked it. I thought you were going to mention Happy Console Gamer. And the only reason I wanted to bring him up as well is he just did a video about video game vinyls.
Oh, yeah.
He had a new record player and stuff, and he had the Snatcher vinyl.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hell yeah. I know exactly how you're feeling right now, Johnny.
I watched that video. It's called Chilling with Johnny.
Yeah, that's what it is. YouTube.
It's great.
It was just cool. And since I just got a vinyl video game soundtrack from the 80s, it was like, dude, I know right now I know exactly how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. It happened to me last week. Ray Civic. Is he American? Like our accent?
Yeah.
It probably is Racevic then.
Yeah.
Like where it's morphed into our American pronunciation instead of like the real native pronunciation. Or maybe it is. God, I don't know what that would be from. Central Europe? Like Poland or Czech Republic or something?
I was thinking it kind of sounds like Icelandic or Norwegian, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Night Fox.
Hey, Night Fox, good to see you. Thanks for joining again. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that does. The ICK has kind of a up north feel. Good deal. I will have the Spec Ops The Line video and Racevic's channel linked in the description. So, all right, man. It's time to talk about what we've been playing. So, what have you and Sully been getting into this weekend?
He has been super into playing video games with people. Like, every time he wants to play games, he wants to play it with me.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. Co-op stuff is awesome. I really needed to start doing, like, co-op videos with him. But we played some Super Mario 3D World. And that game... I've talked numerous times about how awesome that game is, but that game has a different challenge to it when you are trying not to make to score points.
Yes,
because I'm trying desperately to score fewer points than him so that he can get the crown, because he loves getting the crown.
Of course,
he flips out every time he gets it.
But can't he? Oh, you get bonus points if you finish with the crown from the level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to say, can't you just get to the finish line and let him take it from you? But that still might not get him the final crown.
Right. The real part that he loves is when at the end the scores are tallied. So when they're both going up and they're neck and neck and all of a sudden he makes more than I do, he's like, yeah! He starts flipping out.
That's why it's in there. Because that's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Zarek's going to stop by? Good. Thanks, Ken. It'd be great to see Zarek again. Looks like he was streaming some Warframe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever want to check Zarek's channel out, XEARRIK. So is that his main point now, though? Is he just wants to get to the end of the level? Is it about the crown?
He likes it, but he also enjoys the level. Like, he just enjoys running around and bopping enemies and getting cat suits and stuff like that.
Getting him hooked on that Nintendo magic.
Yeah.
Hey, but that game's amazing. We had a comment from someone on YouTube that was like, are there any good games on the Wii U? And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, there's a lot, man. It's backwards compatible to the Wii. And he asked for some suggestions, so I just went through just my own library. And I think I had 10, like, must-play games.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's some really good remakes. The Virtual Console's really good. The Wii U's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that system.
Yeah, Super Mario 3D World is... Like, I am surprised more people didn't talk about that game.
Me too. And a lot of people thought that it didn't hold a candle to the 3DS version. Or the 3DS... 3D Land.
Mm-hmm.
I like 3D Land better, but I think both those games are incredible.
Yeah.
So, who's his favorite? Does he like being Peach because he can float, or...
You know, it drives me a little crazy, but every stage he hits random.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I hope he knows it bugs you a little bit.
I think he does.
does he hog the cat suits at all? Or does he know how to use them?
He knows how to use them, and he's actually really good about, like, he'll hit the block a couple of times and spawn both of them and get one and leave the other one for somebody.
Nice.
Yeah. He's really generous like that.
Yeah, well, then he must know the big picture of sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's crazy that he's able to use the suit well, because there were definitely times when I played that game where I struggled using the suit.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel intuitive at times. I mean, I like being able to climb walls and stuff. That's cool, but.
Yeah.
That's a hard game. Do you, he doesn't have to do the bubble very much then, right? Can he get through most of it?
Oh, yeah. He can get through most of it.
Cool. How is he now? 4?
Yeah, he'll be 5 in a few months.
Okay.
In November.
Damn.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't. I mean, at 5, like, you shouldn't be surprised a kid can play games well anymore.
Yeah. In a year, he'll be in kindergarten.
Damn. That's nuts.
Yeah.
For any new listeners, years and years ago, I guess almost 5 years and 9 months, or yeah. 5 years and 6 months probably, we start recording the podcast, and Dustin's like, so I'm having a kid. That's what's up. I'm like, what? And the fact that he's like 5 is insane. Or almost 5. It doesn't feel that long ago. That's one of my favorite moments of ever doing this, despite anyone I've talked to. The fact you dropped that on the show is like, holy shit. It was so cool. You started streaming some Watch Dogs this weekend.
Yes. Watch Dogs 2 for Cyberpunk Saturdays. And I was
Sorry. I'm going to refill my drink. The entire top of this can pops off. There's no, like, watch this. And listen to this sound. And then it just...
It's like you're opening a can of beans or something.
It's like the most hipster can of beer in the world. It's very tasty, though. That's a local beer.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Like draining off the water from Vienna sausages.
It's gross. Yeah, like the sardine beer. You know, it's got boats and stuff on it.
There you go.
It could. There's a fishiness to it. But yeah, so Watch Dogs 2.
Yes, for Cyberpunk Saturdays. I got about 20 minutes into that game. I got like just through the tutorial, and I was like, the first thing you're supposed to do is buy pants. Because you get drunk and you wake up somewhere and all you have is a tank top and your underwear on.
Okay.
And you go buy pants. And immediately, parking in front of the place where I go buy pants, I got hit with open world shenanigans.
Like so, in a fun way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's all been fun.
Okay,
it's a blast.
I was getting nervous when you're like, the first thing I had to do is buy pants. God damn it. This is a... I'm not in the mood for Shenmue right now.
So I'm driving like a maniac because it's an open world game.
Yeah.
And I drive up to the store and slam on my brakes. And everybody, that's one thing I have noticed. Everyone overreacts to your driving. They're like 10 feet away on the sidewalk and you're doing like 60 miles an hour. And everybody's like, whoa, 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 like going crazy.
Which actually is probably more real to life. If some guy in the middle of downtown drove past me at 60, if I'm within 20 feet, I'm making that reaction.
Yeah, that's a good point. But apparently, there were two guys on the sidewalk. And when they did the whoa, 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 they ran into each other. Because this one guy comes up to me, pissed at my driving, and he starts talking smack to me. And a second guy comes up because he's pissed at the guy talking smack to me, and he hits him with a guitar.
That's funny.
Yeah. He hits him with an acoustic guitar. And of course, the first thing I do is I pull out my phone because you can take selfies in this picture, yeah, in this video game. So I'm taking selfies of this one guy hitting this other guy with a guitar. And that's actually the thumbnail for that first video.
I was wondering where you got that. If that was I saw the thumbnail and wondered, if that was in game or if you grabbed it from Google.
Like, that was personal experience.
That's awesome. I was excited. The last couple of weeks, I got to use two real, Instagram, some of our Instagram posts from, as our thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to show off the flood and the Contra vinyl. I was pumped. So, hey, Barbara, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by again. So, but Watch Dogs 2, did you play the first one at all?
I did. Yeah, I played all the way through that.
I just downloaded it on Xbox One because it was one of the included games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess compared to the first one, what are some of the things that, like, stand out?
So, the first one was super self-serious, and the lead character was pretty unlikable.
I'd heard that there wasn't, like, much personality or anything.
Yeah,
we have some trolls, don't worry about it.
Trolls in the...
You'll get carpal tunnel trying to ban them all. Zarek, what's up? Hey, Legend, good to see you, man. Haven't seen you in a while. Yeah. And Zarek's here.
Babs, Yasha Kitten. What was I saying? The character in the first one was unlikable. This one is basically four chuckleheads who are good with computers being doofuses.
Okay.
Like, at one point, like, I went and the mission was I stole a script and a car from a movie. Like, I've yet to find anything where, like, I'm trying to save the world or get revenge or anything like that.
Okay, it is about having fun.
Yeah.
Tech guy.
So it's basically, like, so far I would say it's like R-rated Hackers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I will keep my eye out for Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah.
I did get Just Cause 3 installed.
So yeah.
I'm excited to give you my thoughts on that series. I'm glad I'm getting it as a more polished version, maybe. Or maybe that's a bad thing. Because it was the jankiness that you loved about Just Cause 2.
Right.
So I guess, have you ever been to San Francisco? I heard that this is pretty fun if you're from San Francisco.
No, I've never been there.
Me either. But I guess that they did, like, I think you can go to the old Giant Bomb whiskey offices and stuff. And it's relatively accurate. People said that when they were driving cars, going through certain interstate overpasses and changeovers and things like that, that it looked the way that it did in real life. That's this cool. Isn't San Francisco, isn't it? I'm almost positive this is the game they were talking about.
Yeah, it is. San Francisco.
Good deal.
Yeah, I've had multiple times where I've been somewhere and I stole something that was part of the mission and I ran, and there were different factions, like different gangs and the police. And I was running from one gang and I went through the territory of another. So those two gangs started like going at it and they just kind of forgot about me. And that's actually the thumbnail of the second video was it's just this all out firefight. Cars are exploding everywhere. And I'm just taking selfies in front of all these people.
That's pretty impressive open world stuff happening. The fact you've had two different encounters where you were a third party to a previous fight is really cool. I'm impressed. It didn't get the warmest reception. I felt like everybody said, well, this is better than the first one. But clearly, it's too bad that this game wasn't Watch Dogs 1, because people were so excited about Watch Dogs when it came out. After that trailer they had maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the hacking mechanics, does it get tedious at all, or is it kind of fun to do?
It's all right. It's really just basically a path puzzle.
Oh, okay.
The ones that I've encountered so far.
I mean, I don't mind those. I guess it's just sometimes in Batman Arkham Asylum, it would get annoying to have to crack do some of the hacking in that. And since it's such a big part of Watch Dogs 2, I wasn't, I don't know. I guess I just wasn't sure if it felt natural or if it felt like it was kind of breaking things up in a tedious way. We got the ban hammer, the classic Leap ban hammer coming down. We got Dustin sniping fools. 360 no scopes all day.
All day.
Well, I guess I'll quit asking you about the Watch Dogs 2 nuances. We can get to that in a little bit. So I got to play some more Pyre.
How was that?
So now that I'm further into it, other than just a little dabbling last week, I really like it a lot. And the weird thing is I just like playing the game. There's some gorgeous artwork like I talked about last week. There's some very interesting story stuff happening, but there's just, it's kind of like a dodgeball match is the way the game plays. It's this very, when I described to you that American Gladiators field where there was two people on opposite ends and they just had to get balls into barrels, so far I'm a few hours in and that's all there's been. But it's really fun to, they show you some basics, but you start to learn all of these little nuances to the strategy. So it's like a 3-on-3 play field where you have, your three characters versus three enemies. And all you're trying to do is get a ball that's in the middle of the court into their goal. And there isn't really a court, and there really isn't, like, there is a goal, but it's not called a goal. And some of my characters are very slow, and some are very fast, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want people to not stumble across certain strategies. Because right. The way they make the enemies progress, it just teaches you new approaches to how to do the game. It's fun as hell, man. And it's really a hard game. And I don't know. It's weird. It's about playing a game on a field. It's not like Bastion, and it's not like Transistor. I would love to work for Supergiant Games. I'd love to know what's going on there. Because they have some special sauce that's just amazing. If you haven't played Pyre and you have it available to buy for $20, I would highly recommend it for anybody to play. I know I'm a Supergiant homer, but whatever. I think it's amazing. Right now, as it stands now, I'll be surprised if I don't like this more than Transistor. I don't think I'll like it more than Bastion, because I've got nostalgia specs on. That game's very special to me. But damn, this is very fun, and it's fair when you lose. There's a great skill tree involved, so you can level up your different characters, and as I'm playing the game and as the story progresses, I am gaining new characters. So I'm constantly in this battle of what to do with these upgrade potential or upgrade options that I have. Which skills am I going to put into which characters? Which characters am I going to upgrade? And there's little subtle things where I didn't select one character, for example, and she immediately was like, it wouldn't be wise to not select me in the next event. So I'm like, okay. And I did, and she fucking crushed it. So I don't know if it was just great game design where they were hinting that I needed to use this person. Mm-hmm. If they were showing me that, you know, dialogue can give me hints, or if it was just, I don't know, like more narrative, more important from a narrative perspective. Like, if that's just her personality saying that, and it didn't really matter. Like, I don't know if that was guidance or just tongue-in-cheek because of the way that they've done narration in games before. Pyre's really cool. It's a different kind of game, and I really enjoy it. The controller support's great. I'm so glad I can play it in my room through my Steam Link and just sit back and chill with it. It's great. So... next up, oh man, our chat's been going crazy. My goodness. hey, well, Zarek, I will say this, man. If you have, trolls even following you to other streams, you are doing something right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a legit hater.
Yeah.
So bring them on over here.
we
can ban them, but,
Every account is a view, right?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, Zerika, yes, it does mean you're doing a good job. That stuff doesn't really bother me when people come and be jerks. They're just internet people. Like, you know, what are you going to do? It's a right click and ban. You're done. We don't mind. Bring on the trolls, I suppose. I also played some Sunset Riders on the SNES.
Right.
So you know how our listeners may not remember, but I'm a pretty staunch supporter of the Genesis Sunset Riders over the SNES Sunset Riders version.
Mm-hmm.
I still hold that, but I am softening a little bit.
Okay.
I really disliked the SNES version. I'm getting used to it. I tried something a little different. My big thing, there's two main points of why I like the Genesis version a lot more than the Super Nintendo. One is the Genesis version, probably due to limitations, but nonetheless, is designed like a console video game. It's a platformer. There are stages to worlds, and there's a boss. Whereas the Super Nintendo one is a very close direct port of the arcade game,
mm-hmm.
which is fine, but that's a quarter muncher. It that's not designed to be a console experience. That's designed to take money.
Right.
So I feel like there's a little too much of that left into the Super Nintendo version, but the graphics and the music are definitely better on Super Nintendo. And then the controls are another thing that I liked better about the Genesis version. Specifically the slide mechanic to let you dodge bullets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. In the Genesis version, you hit down and jump and you slide. In the Super Nintendo version, down and jump does not work. There's a dedicated button to it.
Okay.
So what I've been doing is in the options, they let you remap the buttons. I have been remapping the slide to my right trigger or right bumper button instead of going over to the A. So I'm not moving my thumb at all in order to do the slide. And I've actually done a lot better with that. And then I wanted to stream it, but in the second level, have you played it very much, Sunset Riders, either on the arcade or the Super Nintendo?
I played a little bit.
Do you remember the stage where you're on horseback and there's people throwing logs out of the back of a wagon, whatever they call it, caravan? I could never get past that. So I played it over and over. Now I can do it. I can get through it. It used to take me a full container to get through that level. And I got through it without dying until I got to the boss. So I think this coming week, that's going to be the game that I stream is a Super Nintendo version. But some of the differences with the Super Nintendo that I do like a lot more, all the bosses from the arcade are in it. The voice acting is much better. So there are definitely some things that the Genesis did that, like, it cut out bosses. It cut out a lot of dialogue. There's some reused animations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at the prism of the arcade game being the most important or the best, then yeah, the Genesis would be inferior. But when it comes to just playing the game, I do like the Genesis more still. But there's some cool differences between the games, and I'm excited to get that up on stream. The thing was I didn't want to be stuck not being able to get past the second level on a stream. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So now that I can get through it pretty consistently, I'm going to go with that. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was my little brother sent me a text on listeners of the show might remember Mark was on a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great guest. And he was talking about that HD $40 Hyperkin NES.
Mm-hmm.
And while I saw a YouTuber that I regard very highly trash the thing, I was very curious to see if the casual NES fan that has carts that just wants to play on their HDTV, what they would think. I asked my brother what he thought, and he totally missed Game of Thrones. I mean, obviously you could watch it afterwards. He had planned on sitting down Sunday night to watch Game of Thrones, and totally missed it because he was having so much fun playing NES games.
Awesome.
So it's good enough to have a good time. It seems like $40 is good enough. I mean, it's a system on a chip kind of a thing. So yeah. If you're an audiophile or you're real particular with your visuals, you probably won't like it, but if you're going from an NES that's blinking all the time through composite inputs into your TV versus this, I bet that this would be the option that you would probably take. It depends on some of those games with the weird audio issues, though. We'll see how those go.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any carts that might have that, but other than like the real NES and the high-end systems, no clones play those carts anyways.
Yeah.
So I was very encouraged that he enjoyed it so much that, like, he sent me a picture of him playing Blaster Master, and I don't think he played that as a kid, but I recommended it when he had it for a good price, and he played the hell out of it. Like, that was a screenshot that he sent me, so that was cool. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for our normal stuff. We do have some comments, so let's get to those, and then we will call it a show. Let's see here. Was that a comment? Oh, Demez has been, he did send us a new comment, but it was on a different video. So, Demez says, a hot tip for Scott, do some research and figure out which channels are broadcasting digitally in your area, maybe even in HD. If they are, then all you need is a digital rabbit ear thingy that you can buy and watch pictures for free. Demez is correct, but I will say I did do some research, quite a lot, and that's how I got my antennas to work. There was an app called, like, TV Antennas. Now, Demez lives, I think, in, like, Vancouver or some big city in Canada. So his rabbit ears are going to be amazing. I live in the middle of cornfields in Ohio. So I'm 45 miles from the nearest TV tower. But I was able to get an app that points me in the direction of where the signals are coming from based on my GPS unit. So I was able to get rabbit ears working. And they did come in HD. He's not wrong. However, when I did take a splitter from my cable connection to my modem, and then one side goes to the modem and one side goes to the TV, I got everything in HD except for ESPN. It's unbelievable. So, Dumbass, you'll be proud of me. Here's my setup right now. I have, because I use Plex, you know, I've been a Plex guy for years. I rip all my Blu-rays and use Plex. Because I was obsessed with getting rid of cable, but still watching live sports, I got the rabbit ear set up, and I bought this encoder thing called an HD Home Run. And what it would do is it would transcode everything through my network to record onto my PC through Plex. And then I would bring it up like it was a normal Netflix app or whatever, but it was live recorded TV right next to all of my movies and TV shows I've ripped. Well, as it turns out, if you have Spectrum internet like I do, the cable signals coming in are unencrypted.
Hey,
so the HD Home Run thing catches them all.
Sweet.
So it, with my rabbit ears, I had maybe six channels, and ABC was real hit and miss. And now I have over 100.
Dude,
it is insane. I had to reset up all my DVR because the cable channels are slightly different than the over the air channels as far as the way that they're enumerated in Plex. But I got my Jeopardy crystal clear. I get no stutters. My Wheel of Fortune, my Goldbergs, I got it all back. And what's crazy is if I have a cable box, I get higher resolution over the air or directly out of the wall than I did after the cable box. The cable box from AT&T and Time Warner would only do a 720p signal. And I get better than that out of jacks and whatnot. So, but Demez is right. Do some research and figure out which channels do broadcast around you. And you might be surprised. You might not even need to do my splice for my internet connection thing. You may just get good over the air and not realize it.
Yeah.
An easy way to figure that out, it takes some AVS forums level of digging. But, like, really. But you can get really nerdy. There are broadcast signals and, like, there's some crazy stuff out there, but it's not all aggregated and simple. So it does take, research needs to be underlined and highlighted there. But it's cool, man. I'm excited that I have it, all set up that way. But, I do have it. My situation now is better than it was, with the rabbit ears. But, yeah. And then also, Zarek, last episode, says, yes, that title.
Yes.
The Roadies of YouTube. So, man, we had a good, but I gotta go back and read through some of this chat. When I saw the banhammer happening, I tried to just not look at it. You know, I just tried to, like, push through, try to keep things going, but, it's cool, man. Thank you to everybody that came out and hung out. Blue Skull, what's up? Good deal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Kimanana's cab has been trolling or not, but what's up? It weren't banned, so hello.
Yeah, he seems all right.
Cool.
Bastard Bean came in and threw around some maple syrup.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. So, but yes, I do want to thank everybody again for the cat raid. Zarek, really, really appreciate it. It's really fun, man, to have you and your audience come over here and hang out sometimes. That's going to be it for the week. I don't think we've got any other emails that we were going to read or anything like that, have we?
I don't think so. I don't think we even got, like, good English emails that we could read for funsies.
No, Google's been doing a very good job of filtering that out. We get some obvious press release stuff, mm-hmm. with like Steam codes of games we haven't heard of, but that's like a mass email. It's not, hey Dustin, da 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 da, here you go. You can always tell.
No.
You know, so, yeah, we don't even have any goofy stuff to read. But that's okay. We had a, hey, we still made it to an hour, man.
Hey, all right.
Pretty good, considering we did this just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Zarek, love you too, man. If you want to leave comments, that'd be great. I don't know. I like the live version of Zarek as well.
I think you'd do both. He could do like his long form essay comments, and then
I love those. I feel guilty. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Like that, they're so thoughtful and good.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not worth the time, but I love and appreciate it. Zarek's a good dude. We've been friends for a long time. Zarek was one of the first people that left us a comment after we tried putting our podcast on YouTube like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always stuck out to me. So, good dude over there. Well, that's going to be it for the week, Dustin. Anything else you want to add before I do the normal wrap-up?
I'll come back next week with my thoughts on a paranormal documentary.
Yes, that's right. Like an exclusive screening thing.
Kinda. It purportedly has definitive evidence that ghosts exist.
Did we talk about that on air, or was that after the show?
I think it was after the show.
Oh, man. I can't wait until next week then. Are you going with your nephew or your buddy?
It's actually going to be like a group thing now because nice. Everybody heard about it and they're like, oh yeah, we should do that. But now I'm actually, secretly a little nervous that it's going to suck. And like five other people are going to be like, I just wasted $25, you dick.
Well, this is where you get to wear the actually glasses and you can... You can like defend it after the fact. Well, actually, if you knew this, you have to have a base and a level knowledge here. I am drinking, it's called Putin Bay Pilsner. Oh, I'm backwards this week, dude. Why does that happen?
I don't know. It just randomly happened.
Oh, like just now?
It was maybe 30 minutes ago.
Weird. It's called Putin Bay Pilsner. It is a beer that's brewed up here in Ohio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where Putin Bay is. It's where my sister's fiance's bachelor party is in a couple of weeks. Putin Bay is really fun. It's a little island that is just got bars. You take a ferry over to it. It's in Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an island of bars, and It'll be fun. They even have a little, like, all year round, they have an outdoor, like, tiki bar thing where the ground is sand, and they have, like, big swinging, like, swings. Uh-huh. They make great mojitos. It's silly, but it's fun.
That's cool.
It's good stuff. Normally when I'm there, because I've got Project Fi as my cell phone, I get Canadian service because it's better than the American service because we're in the middle of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Verizon people are struggling, but, like, I'll get a Project Fi notification on my phone, like, welcome to Canada. Like, last year at some point, I said something to our buddy Kevin in Toronto. I sent it over to Kevin. I'm like, on Twitter, like, hey, I'm thinking of you or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just right around the corner. It's cool stuff. So, all right. Well, that's going to be it for the show this week. We're going to be erratic, so I'm not going to go over a streaming schedule. I would like to thank Ben Landis very much for letting us use his. Oh, you got me excited. I thought that was a spider.
Not yet.
That is an, that's an adorable freaking ghost, though.
Yeah, I saw a variation of this on eBay. I have a safe search on eBay.
Do you really?
I legitimately do. But yeah, there's a variation that has like green in it and it glows in the dark. And I thought about picking that up too.
You can rig your own with a LED from Amazon though as well. That is a cute ghost face. It reminds me of the, was it McDonald's or Burger King that had the candy pails that you could actually use, but they were in like a pumpkin or a ghost? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Just barely, yeah.
We didn't use them because our neighbors were awesome and they were too small. We needed pillowcases.
Yeah.
Or we were having to run back. One year, we know this because we had to go empty our pails one year.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, no, none of this.
This is garbage.
We did. We had a nice, dense, but upper middle class neighborhood. The pro tip though was bolt to the school and get the cop that was giving candy out of his trunk. If you were there early, he hooked you up.
Sweet.
And then we could just weave because we had a really dense neighborhood. Oh, it was awesome. We'd be exhausted. It was great.
Angela says Burger King.
It was Burger King. All right, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Angela.
And Zurek said the horrible month of gaming horror is just around the corner. Do you have any plans? And I'll probably stream some horror stuff. I was this close to starting to stream Halloween stuff Saturday. And I was like, no. Still got too long. I'm going to do some Cyberpunk Saturdays. I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to be an adult when I stream my video games online.
I did change my Hearthstone card back to the 2014 pumpkin one that came out on Halloween. I was like, nice. That's about that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this will be the year I do Outlast.
And when I picked up the ghost, Legend screamed, no, not that again. My ears bled last time.
It did. That was sharp, man.
That's why I didn't turn on this time. I didn't want to hurt about you.
Maybe this will be the year I do Outlast. Around Halloween.
So good. I need to play Outlast too. I have that physical copy.
Maybe this will be the year. I'm like you, man. I'm not a big of a Halloween nut, but that's around my birthday and it's college football and almost in candy. Just about everything I like is right around then.
I'm like super stoked for fall in general. Like Halloween, I love, but just fall in general is going to be awesome.
I agree. And hopefully it'll be as nice as the summer's been. I mean, it was a hot, humid summer for us here, but other than us flooding that one weekend horribly, it's been not that heavy of rain. It's been pretty good. So Zarek says he's going to do Outlast this year for sure. Dude, was Zarek's laugh? When he gets scared, oh, that's going to be great.
I can't wait to see the cat face cam get scared.
It might be, maybe he'll do the pumpkin in your honor.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, so
I have Alien Isolation too. I've never even practiced that game.
Alien Isolation seemed pretty good.
Oh, Yasha, I devote an entire Saturday to watching scary movies every October.
And now in July.
Well, I realize that I'm like the horror aggregator, right? I take all the good horror and aggregate it for everyone. So around Halloween, I'm like, yo, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're like the editor's choice.
Right.
If you want to see some craziness, Yash, was it 3 or 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Dustin played every single day of October a new horror or, I don't know, scary or tense game.
Mm-hmm. I tried to run a pretty good spectrum. Like, I did some Nintendo games. I think Monster Party was one of them. Lords of Shadow was one of them, but then you also had like Outlast and like actual legit scary games.
Yeah.
So I tried to kind of showcase even stuff that if you weren't super into horror, you could play things with horror elements.
Yeah. Dead Space was another one.
Mm-hmm. God, I love Dead Space. It's so good.
I know. I feel like a bad friend that I haven't played Dead Space yet. I did start it. I got like an hour or two into it and then just got distracted.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's going to be it for the show. Again, thank you, everybody, for hanging out. Really appreciate it. And thanks again to Ben Landis for letting us use his theme song, Through the Forest. Our RSS feed, if you'd like the audio version of our podcast, you can get that at classicleet.com. That's classic L337. Actually, 1337 works as well. I own that domain, too. It redirects. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud, all those places for the audio versions. For social media, we are really, active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Now, if you like our outro songs, you can follow us on SoundCloud. I reshare those, and that is a good way to hear chiptune music that we enjoy on this show. If you'd like to support the channel or the podcast, if you go to our, affiliate links in our description, if you buy something from Amazon after clicking on that link, then, you'll help us out. We'll get a small commission, which is always appreciated. And man, we got some more. We should almost have done a separate, like, preemptive Halloween podcast.
Yeah.
This is getting a lot of nice chatter. We'll make sure everybody, Yash and, hey, Crude, good to see you, Crude. It's been a while.
Yeah, man, welcome.
Everybody, yeah, make sure to tune in October. Because we'll be getting silly in October. But yeah, help us out through Amazon if you would like. Outro music this week is from someone named Scavenger. The song is called DBA6. And Dustin, this was going to be the... Hey, Crude, thank you.
Thank you, man.
And this is a song I was going to play last week.
Okay.
But Impulses came out of nowhere with a perfectly titled song. So this week we'll be playing Scavenger by DBA6, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. I will have the song linked in SoundCloud, so you'll be able to follow that and enjoy the song and support them in any way that you can. And that's going to do for the show. So again, thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you next week for episode 243.
Boosh.